Welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show. Shout out to the underdogs, to my people, and the occasional Trump supporter that accidentally finds the show. Appreciate all of you. You made it to the right place if you want to get personal about the news and the culture. A bunch of underdog stuff. The unavoidable, the unbelievable, the underrated, the unjust, the uninhibited. You get it by now, underdog stuff. And as always, to take you on that journey, you have your host, Gregory Neesmith, founder of the Underdog Stuff Company, also into spreading special stuff, an entrepreneur, into a bunch of other stuff too. And I'm excited. It's been 2 weeks since we have been together because I finally decided to walk the talk, which is, I often talk about taking breaks, recharging the battery, so to speak. And so after season one concluded, which was a few weeks ago, a year of the Gregory Neesmith season one complete, took a break and decided to refill the cup. You know that saying, it's hard to pour from an empty cup. So I had to go refill it. And before we get into today's show, shout out to the Underdog Stuff, the Gregory Neesmith Show team that made season one and the first year possible. And that was, and that is, Asha Davis, Kirsten Magwood, and of course, all of you. Today, we're going to get into a few things. First, let me just set the table here, make sure we're all heading in the right direction. You know, I take 2 weeks off and it's almost like I forgot how to kick off a show. So first, let me say shout out to the folks watching on Facebook Live, because some folks like to watch as I look over at the camera at them. And if you want to follow along on Facebook Live, where we will also take your comments throughout the show, you can go to facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith, GregoryNeesmith. For those who are out and about, let's say you're about to hop in your car, do some driving around New York City, around Harlem, you can turn to your radio dial on 90.3 FM and you'll hear the voice of Harlem, WHCR. And you hear my voice too. And a special shout out to folks who want to go old school, who want to do, you know, we have Throwback Thursdays. How about Throwback Sunday, which is Mr. Telephone Man. There's nothing wrong with this line. If you pick up the phone and dial, I'm going to pick it up every time. And you can do that at area code 212-650-6903. That's area code 212-650-6903. I'm in the studio. It's just me and you. I love the comments on Facebook. I love the folks out and about listening in their cars on their radio. And I love it even more if you pick up the phone and call. We can talk about a few things going on. Now, with that said, today's episode, bad senators, bad magazine covers, and bad decisions. That's today's episode. Now, what will not be in today's episode? And I apologize. 2 weeks off. There's so much going on. A lot of things that I even want to talk about that we're just not going to be able to dive into deeply. But I always take your comments. Russia. We're not going to talk about Russia today. I'm all Russia'd out, actually. I may not talk about Russia until someone is actually indicted for colluding with the Russians to influence the election. Let me repeat that. I may not talk about Russia again until Robert Mueller indicts somebody or somebody's charged with colluding with the Russians to influence the election, which is why this whole thing started anyway. So when that happens, I'll start talking about it again. In the meantime, I'm going to sit back and sip on some tea as we potentially see that there's some smoke, but so far no fire. Paul Manafort, Papadopoulos, Michael Flynn, We'll see. But for now, I'm all out on it until something legitimately comes up related to Donald Trump that could literally get him impeached in that office. But I'll take your comments about it, though. Also, I'm not going to talk about taxes today, but we will talk about taxes in the coming weeks because the Senate did somewhat just like the House of Representatives and passed a tax bill that seems to favor everyone except for the supposed forgotten man and working, or should I say white working class that Donald Trump ran his election on or campaign on, saying that that's who he was going to help. Folks in flyover country, middle class. And then Congress passes tax bills that don't seem to help those folks at all. Buyer's remorse? Come on, occasional Trump supporters, or Trump supporters that occasionally find the show. Help me understand, because I don't understand. Seems like Donald Trump isn't honoring his promise that he made to you. But today we will talk about bad senators, some of those bad senators and House of Representative members we know, because some of their sexual misconduct has been public. Some of their settlements they've made in the past have been public information. But I also want to talk about some of the stuff we don't know, because I believe there's an underreported story related to the misconduct, especially the sexual misconduct of members of the Senate and the House. Also, I want to talk about bad magazine covers. Sports Illustrated had a bad magazine cover not too long ago related to NFL players protesting to raise awareness for reforms in policing and the overall justice system when it comes to race and specifically African Americans. Time Magazine had a magazine cover this week. Can you guess why? We're going to talk about it. And I called it a bad magazine cover. We'll get to it later in this opening hour. And then lastly, I said today's show, bad senators, bad magazine covers, and lastly, bad habits. I got a bunch of bad habits. And as we head into the new year, I want to start to talk about how at least I'm going to attempt to let go of some of those bad habits. And hopefully you'll share some of the bad habits you want to let go of heading into 2018. Man, this decade is almost over. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to get into today's episode, bad senators, bad magazine covers, and bad decisions. Let's get personal about underdog stuff in the news and the culture. Your phone calls at 212-650-6903 and your comments online at facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith. More of the Gregory Neesmith Show after this break. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show, where we get personal about the news and the culture. Shout out to the underdogs, to my people, and the occasional Trump supporter that accidentally finds the show. Appreciate all of you. All right, let's get into it. The unavoidable news stories of the week. I'm sure by now most of you have heard there are some bad senators out there and House of Representative members too that have been inappropriately conducting themselves when it comes to relations with women, sexual misconduct. And not to leave out that there's also been some men who've been assaulted and harassed, but the majority have been women that have been assaulted or harassed on Capitol Hill. But that's out in Washington, and we'll get to Washington in a second. But there's something going on down in sweet old Alabama. No more, no more, please, no more. And I mean M-O-O-R-E, as in Roy Moore, the candidate running to be the senator of Alabama. And for those of you who may not know, Alabama is having a special Senate race in a few days, December 12th, to fill the seat vacated by Jeff Beauregard Sessions, who's currently the attorney general. And who knows for how long Jeff Sessions will be the attorney general. But he used to be a senator in Alabama. Now he's in the cabinet of the White House. And they're having a special election to officially fill that seat that was vacated by Jeff Beauregard Sessions. And a gentleman, Doug Jones, who represents the Democratic Party, is running. And so is Roy Moore, who represents the Republicans. And if you haven't heard by now, there's been at least 8 women who have accused Roy Moore of sexual misconduct. And the youngest of those women has alleged that she was 14 at the time when Roy Moore assaulted and harassed her. Now, seemingly pulling from the Donald Trump, and I know some of the left-leaning folks are not going to like what I'm about to say, but seemingly leveraging the playbook of Donald Trump and the playbook of Bill Clinton, deny, 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 Roy Moore has denied 6 of the 8 allegations. Debbie Gibson, who was 17, Gloria Deason, who was 18 at the time, Gina Richardson, who was 18 at the time, Becky Gray, who was 22 at the time, and Beverly Nelson, who was 16 at the time, and Tina Johnson, all allege harassment or assault or some type of relation with Roy Moore when he was in his 30s, and they were in their early, mid to late teens. And there's also 2 accusers, who Wendy Miller, who was 16 at the time, and Lee Kaufman, who was 14 at the time, also alleged misconduct by Roy Moore. Not surprisingly, he has denied all of the ones where the victims are underage, because that would be a crime. The others, some would argue, and I would too, would be not very moral of him, but still legal, however illegal for him and a crime to be in some type of relations with a 14-year-old and a 16-year-old when he was in his 30s. Now, you would think someone running for a position where, let's just put this in perspective, a position where there's 300-something million people in the United States of America. There's 100 members of the United States Senate. Seems like a very important, a very privileged job position to have, that you would think should be pretty hard to get, should have some high standards. I mean, 100 out of 300 something million, I would think there's a certain amount of honor and distinction that should come with those who even think about having that position, and then for those who actually get it. So while all of us underdogs and my people and occasional Trump supporters might be thinking, man, this one's a no-brainer. If I was in Alabama, I'd be voting for Doug Jones, or I would be writing in another candidate if I want to vote for a Republican. But unfortunately, most of you listening right now, and me included, don't live in Alabama. So I thought to myself, let me go find out what folks in Alabama think about all of this. Because I'm going to assume that Roy Moore is in trouble. There's no way you can be alleged to have assaulted or harassed teenagers when you were in your 30s and still have a shot to be one of the 100 members of something out of 300 million citizens and be in the U.S. Senate. So CBS did a poll of registered Republicans. and asked them, did they believe the allegations against Roy Moore or did they believe the denial by Roy Moore? 71% of Republicans in Alabama believe the allegations are false against Roy Moore. 17% of Alabama Republicans believe the victims. Let me say that one more time, because I'm sure you thought that maybe I got the numbers reversed. Like I messed up reading that, and I didn't. 71% of Republican voters in Alabama believe the allegations against Roy Moore are false. And 17% of Republican voters in Alabama believe the victims. Now, we're going to unpack a little bit of this Roy Moore story, but it's also leading up to a bigger point I want to make, which is I think inside of all this discussion about sexual misconduct and senators and House of Representative folks and the president, I think there's also an underreported part of the story that hasn't been told. And I want to make sure we get to that. With that, I believe we have a caller. Name and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Deborah from Manhattan. How are you, Gregory?
Deborah, hello. How are you?
I'm well. Listen, I just wanted to, this is kind of like, it's been said over and over again, because they played the tape where he said that he would always, if the person was young, that he would always get permission from the girl's mother. And I'm trying to figure out why in your 30s would you even go with someone where you need permission to ask for someone's, you know, daughter to go out on a date. That's really strange. And the other one is, I don't know, but do you know how much or what percentage of women in Alabama are voting for him or are in favor of voting for him?
I don't know the breakdown. What I do know, though, is as of today, literally, they look at a lot of the polling averages, so multiple polls in Alabama, and Roy Moore has about a 50% of the vote in total, and his competitor, Doug Jones, a Democrat, has about 44, 45. So I'm going to assume of those 50% of people who are voting for Roy Moore are expected to, let's assume that at least half of them are women.
Right. Wasn't he a judge?
Yes, who also was known to actually go against the ruling.
So wasn't he tossed out twice?
Yes. So he was problematic before. So even before mm-hmm. his inappropriate behavior with these teenage girls, he was already problematic just on the basis of like disobeying the rule of law of the United States and the Supreme Court.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
That's all. And the whole, you know, moral thing. I mean, from what I understand, you know, if people were ordered, like, you know, police officers down there to keep an eye on the mall to keep him away from young girls.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure.
Hey, Deborah, I apologize. Please call back in. Somehow we lost you, and I apologize about that. Please call back in. That was Deborah from Manhattan. And if you get a chance, I apologize that you got cut off. Call back in if you get a chance. Deborah was making just an additional point, which is before we even get into the debate about sexual misconduct, Roy Moore was a problematic candidate even before these allegations came out. Deborah, is that you back on the line?
Yeah, yes, it is.
That.
It's me.
How you doing?
Hey. Oh, okay. No, I'm saying like they were using taxpayers' dollars to use the law to keep an eye on him, you know, in malls. And I think at one time I had heard that, you know, cheerleaders even in high schools. Yeah, I just don't understand how they can, you know, make excuses, because that's taxpayers' money that people are using to keep an eye on, keep an eye out for younger girls.
Yeah, he's. I
but
agree
someone
with
who was once a judge or a district attorney, and then he was a judge. I don't understand. It's like no matter what they do, you know, they can do it.
I'm at the same wit's end as you, and also another Republican is in office right now who it seems like he can do whatever he wants to, and we know that's Donald Trump.
Well, I'll talk to you later, Gregory.
I know. I know.
Have a good day.
You too. Talk to you later, Deborah. That was Deborah from Manhattan. And we always appreciate her. Next caller. Next caller. You know, one of these days I'm going to get much better at answering and handling these phone calls. And we'll get to our next caller in one quick second. Let me just finish giving this quick update about Roy Moore. So, and thank you, Deborah from Manhattan, for calling in. Now, with that said, you would think that it would be unlikely that Roy Moore would even have a shot at winning this election. But he does. And as of right now, he's polling ahead of his challenger, Democrat Doug Jones. With that, here's a quick soundbite of Doug Jones trying to make his case about why he believes he should be the next senator in Alabama and why Roy Moore is not qualified.
Despite what you hear in his TV ads, folks, Roy Moore has never, ever served our state with honor. And make no mistake, he was already an embarrassment to this state before nine courageous women chose to share their deeply personal and disturbing encounters with him from a time when he was a 30-something-year-old assistant district attorney, and they were only teenagers. As I have said before, I believe these women, and so should you. I damn sure believe that I have done my part to ensure that men who hurt little girls should go to jail and not the United States Senate.
Accusations against Roy Moore?
I certainly have no reason to disbelieve any of them. The timing is a little curious, but at the same time, I have no reason to disbelieve them.
Mary? Oh, okay.
Governor, previously you said you needed more facts. What changed?
Well, the information and facts continue to come in, but everybody needs to be sure that they go to vote on December the 12th. And everybody will cast their ballot like every Alabamian. I'll cast my ballot.
Did the party make the right decision?
I believe they did. It's a process that you go through where the people of Alabama choose who's going to represent their party.
Well, that was the governor of Alabama saying that she is going to believe the victims and still vote for Roy Moore. You know, this got me to thinking that this approach to I don't have any options, I'm not sure what to do, I can kind of relate to what Republican voters in Alabama are going through. Because I would be disingenuous if I would be on this radio talking as if I haven't ever felt like I don't have options. Right? How many people can relate, especially underdogs out there, my people, to having a job that you don't like? You hate it. But you feel like you can't leave because the job market is rough. Or it may require you having to move, and that has expenses tied to it. And so you feel stuck. And you're like, you know what? I got to keep going into this job, even though I don't like it. Even though it might be physically and mentally, figuratively speaking, or literally killing you. But you feel like you got to do it. I've been there. I felt like I can't leave. I got to stay. So I get it. I'm sure there's Republican voters who are going, they believe the victims too. But they feel like they don't have a choice. They're like, I'm a Republican. I want to vote for Republican values, Republican policies. I don't have a choice. Don't judge me. I don't have a choice. But we often, and I realize this over time too, especially related to a job situation, I have, you have, those voters in Alabama have more choices than they think. And what I wish would have happened before December 12th is that there would have been more of a commitment to be unstoppable around finding those other options. Because just like it's real considerations when someone is in a job that they don't think they can leave, you know, there's real considerations, finances, moving expenses, find another job. Like, I get it, but there are other options. And Alabama had other options too. They could write in another candidate. If you're a Republican in a Republican state, write in another candidate. The governor could have moved the election date further out to give folks more time to get more information about Roy Moore, to maybe let another candidate get into the mix. There were options. And I'm sad that they weren't explored. And that on December 12th, folks are going to be in a big predicament. And we are as a nation too, as it looks like tribe or team will trump a lot of our values, even those of some of the Republican voters in Alabama. With that, I do want to extend out to the bigger picture, which is the place where Roy Moore is headed, or potentially headed, to the Washington, D.C., to Capitol Hill. And after this break, I want to talk about what's been going on there with some of those senators and House of Representatives. And I want to talk about the part of the story that I believe has been underreported, underrepresented. There's some stuff that we don't know that we haven't been talking about, and I want to talk about that next. Plus, we have a call online, and we're going to take that phone call after the break, too. More of the Gregory Neesmith Show after this break. Today's episode, Bad Senators, Bad Magazine Covers. I'm talking about you, Time Magazine, Person of the Year. You left somebody out. There's a woman that should have been on the cover. And Bad Habits. I got a few, and I'm going to talk about one of them in the second hour. More of the Gregory Neesmith Show after this break. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show, where we get personal about underdog stuff in the news and the culture. Shout out to the underdog, to my people, and the occasional Trump supporter that accidentally finds the show. Appreciate all of you. Today's episode, Bad Senators, Bad Magazine Covers, and Bad Habits. I got a few. I'm going to share one of them in the second hour. We've been talking about bad senators. There is a likely bad senator headed to Washington in a few days. There's an election in Alabama, and it looks like Roy Moore, who is alleged of sexual harassment and assault of minors, is likely to become a senator representing the state of Alabama. And while that story has been one that's been widely publicized, and of course we talk about it in the Unavoidable News segment, there's some stuff underneath that that I want to talk about that's been underreported and underrepresented. Just to refresh folks' memories, there's been a lot of people who've been against him, but obviously a lot of people for him. And one person that's been for Roy Moore, which probably won't surprise you, is a man up in the White House.
Yeah, I'll be talking. I can tell you, one thing for sure. We don't need a liberal person in there, a Democrat. Jones, I've looked at his record. It's terrible in crime. It's terrible in the border. It's terrible in the military. I can tell you for a fact, we do not need somebody that's going to be bad on crime, bad on borders, bad with the military, bad for the Second Amendment.
That's Donald Trump talking about Roy Moore. And here's Donald Trump getting even more to the point in Pensacola, Florida, which, by the way, is literally next door to Alabama. This is him Friday night getting right to the point about Roy Moore.
We need somebody in that Senate seat who will vote for our Make America Great Again agenda.
So get out and vote for Roy Moore.
Do it. Do it.
I mean, sometimes I just don't know. It's hard to go from underdog to contender and contender to champ and champ to legend when you got stuff like this going on in society and culture. All right. Now back to sexual misconduct. Not in Alabama, but let's move to D.C., to Washington, D.C. So part of me was thinking, does someone like Roy Moore belong in the U.S. Senate? Am I naive? Is he going to stick out like a sore thumb, so to speak? Well, maybe not. Because if you've been paying attention to the news this week, you've realized that Roy Moore looks like he's likely to join a boys' club that has a lot of folks who have been not conducting themselves too well. Al Franken, senator from Minnesota, or should I say former senator from Minnesota, announced this week that he's going to step down from his Senate position due to accusations of him inappropriately touching women, especially when he would take pictures with them. And a number of women Democrats in the House and Senate called for him to step down, and it sounds like he's going to do that. John Conyers, representative from the state of Michigan, I believe Detroit specifically, announced he was going to step down after it came to light of some of his alleged inappropriate behavior, in addition to a settlement, I believe, of around $20,000 that related to sexual misconduct that happened in the past. And then this week, too, it's like it just keeps on coming. Trent Franks, a representative from Arizona, reportedly offered $5 million to one of his aides on his staff to impregnate her to be a surrogate for him and his wife, who I believe is reported they cannot have children. And so they've used surrogacy before in the past. And it's been reported that he offered an aide on his staff $5 million for surrogacy. And he's resigning. Franken, Conyers, and Franks, gone. So potentially not too surprising that someone like Roy Moore could make it to the Senate too. If you want to join the conversation, let me know your thoughts. If you were in Alabama, what would you do? And to make it a bit more challenging, if you were a Republican, or if you are a Republican, and if you lived in Alabama, what would you do? It's easy to say you might stay home, or it's easy to say you'll vote for the Democrat this one time, but that's hard. Suppose you believe in the policies of the Republican Party. You're like, it's not my fault this dude is running, but I want my tax cuts that are going to hurt me. I want Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, repealed and replaced so it's harder for me to get health care. If you're a Republican and you lean that way and you want those policies enacted, what are you going to do? What would you do in this situation? What would you do? All right, now on to what I really want to talk about, which is the underreported piece of all of this. Conyers, Franken, Trent Franks, public information. Settlements, I don't believe, had some type of non-disclosure agreements. Victims have come forward, and it is believed that they are credible. Again, in the public sphere, we know about settlements. We know about victims, people on the record. Conyers, Frank, and Franken pushed to resign. But what about the stuff we don't know about? I'm mad that the news has, like, glossed over this story. They mentioned it a few weeks ago, and then now it's like it's died down. Did you know about the secret fund? I like to call it, and I don't take any pleasure in calling it this, the hush fund. The sexual misconduct and racial discrimination hush fund. What am I talking about? Well, I'm talking about the funds that are used to pay off victims of sexual harassment and other means of misconduct by members of the House or the Senate. And it's called the Settlement and Awards Fund. And it's funded by taxpayers. And it's basically unlimited, but nobody seems to know the exact source of where it comes from, who has used it. All we know so far is that over the past 10 to 15 years, senators or folks in the House of Representatives have gotten involved in some type of alleged misconduct. And it's been said mostly in the news about sexual misconduct. And that over the past 10 or 15 years, about $15 million of our money, unbeknownst to us, has been used to settle cases. And this is what happens. This is the process. A person has been harassed, must go into the Office of Compliance. An Office of Compliance is the place that administers these mysterious hush fund funds. And they must make their claim within 180 days of when they were harassed. And then the office then will take the next couple of steps once an official harassment claim has been filed. There's a 30-day counseling period. There's a mediation effort. There's administrative hearings or civil action, some type of lawsuit. There's an appeals process. And if a settlement is reached, the whole ordeal must be kept silent. Silent. So yeah, we know about Al Franken. We know about Trent Franks. We know about John Conyers. What about the people who've been using the hush fund? Oh, my bad. Let me say the official name so I get it right, especially if folks want to Google it. What about the folks who've used the settlement and awards fund when they have acted inappropriately? I bet when you turn on the news today, it'll barely come up or not come up at all. See, I'm one of those people. You know, we talk underdog stuff here. I'm one of those folks where I'm a big, big proponent of equality of opportunity. But I know it's a bit hard and utopian to expect equality of outcomes. But I always feel like if I'm an underdog, if you give me equal opportunity, then, you know, I'll go with my talent and my effort to try to make a successful outcome. Because I like for folks to have the same starting line. Equally, on the back end of things, I'm a fan of fairness. If it is against the rule to do X, then to me, anyone who breaks the rule of X should get the same repercussions, the same punishment. So Conyers, Franken, and Franks acted inappropriately. It's come to light. And as a society, even though there's no criminal case that seems to be taking place, the court, as they call it, a public opinion, has said, if we find out about your misconduct, in addition to some type of settlement, which tends to lead some type of credibility to it, and especially if you don't come out and deny all those charges, then we've said as a society, at least in this moment, that we believe those folks should have to resign from their role in the House of Representatives or the United States Senate. So then, forgive me if I'm at a loss for the sitting senators or House of Representatives that have used this hush fund, or again, let me use the correct title here, settlements and awards fund, for their misconduct that has been kept silent. What about them? When are we going to find out how and who and when those senators or House of Representative members settled cases for acting inappropriately? Because, hey, if somebody's got to go, and I said this earlier in the week when it looked like only John Conyers was the only person who had to go, and then eventually folks realized that that was unfair to just single him out. And then Al Franken and now Tripp Franks. But what about the members of Congress who have settled as part of this hush fund over the past couple years, $15 million worth of settlements, and we don't know who, what, when, and where? And word is, a few of them who use that are still employed by us as senators or House of Representatives. How come they don't have to go? How come their stuff still gets to stay silent? Because if that's the new rule, then I want it to apply to everybody. And then, oh, by the way, and I haven't heard this said, part of this fund also is used to settle cases of discrimination, like against folks with disabilities or racial discrimination. So I want to know, of that 15 something million in this hush fund, I know the news has been talking about the sexual misconduct part of it, and that needs to be addressed. But what about the racial part of it? You mean to tell me there might be sitting senators or House of Representatives that have discriminated against folks in their offices and we don't get to know about it? Especially when, oh, by the way, from 2008 to 2016, we had our first African-American president working with members of the House of the members of Congress, who some of them might have been known offenders of racial discrimination, that settled cases paid for by our money that we didn't get to know about? Come on, man. Help me understand why I should be okay with Conyers, Franken, and Trent Franks resigning and not finding out about the others who have used the hush fund. Because to me, if one's got to go, if that's the new rule, and I'm with it, then they all got to go. With that, first hour of today's show, bad senators, bad magazine covers, and bad habits. We talked about the bad senators, and I'm going to look at the Facebook Live and see if there's been some comments related to that topic. But going into the second hour, we're going to shift gears. Slowly shift gears. We're going to smooth on out of this conversation and ease on into bad magazine covers, which is actually related to the first hour, and then also talk about bad habits. I got a bunch of them, and I'm going to talk about one of them in the second hour. If you want to watch, and some people like to watch this show, we still got an hour to go. You can do that by going to www.facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith. That's GregoryNeesmith. And I'm looking over at the folks on the Facebook Live. Appreciate you. And if you're driving around out and about, you listen to the first hour at home, but now you're about to head out to these streets in New York City and in Harlem, you can turn your radio dial to 90.3 FM and you'll hear the sounds of the Voice of Harlem and of the Gregory Neesmith Show. And for those who might be somewhere, anywhere in the world, you can go to WHCR.org, and there's a live stream, audio, and a video stream. So we got you covered. Or you can go to the TuneIn app. There's a bunch of ways you can listen, follow, watch the show in a bunch of ways. And oh, by the way, if you should happen to miss any of the live show, there's a podcast, and I'll tell you more about that in the next hour. You're listening to The Gregory Neesmith Show, where we get personal about underdog stuff in the news and the culture. More of the Gregory Neesmith Show. Today's episode, Bad Senators, Bad Magazine Covers, and Bad Habits after this. Ooh. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show, where we get personal about underdog stuff in the news and the culture. Shout out to the underdogs, to my people, and the occasional Trump supporter that accidentally finds the show. You made it to the right place. We do this every Sunday, kickoff at 1 p.m., and we go to 3 p.m. every Sunday. And after 2 weeks off, whew, getting used to being back in the studio, holding the boards down, answering the phones, looking at Facebook Live. Whew, I need to catch my breath. Answering the phones. Appreciate y'all. If you want to join the conversation, you can at area code 212-650-6903. Or you can go to Facebook Live at facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith, and you can watch and comment there. Shout out to all the people on the Facebook Live who tuned in. Kirsten Magwood, saw a comment from her earlier. Elizabeth, appreciate you. Used to work with Elizabeth back in my corporate America days. I always appreciate her energy and her support. Shout out to you. And to all the other underdogs and friends and family that have jumped on to the Facebook Live. Appreciate you. All right. Today's episode, Bad Senators. We've talked enough about them for now. Let's get to bad magazine covers. You know, I remember early in my career, before becoming an entrepreneur, before launching Underdog Stuff, the company, business consulting and leadership coaching, before doing the on-air thing, radio host, podcaster, aspiring TV host too, and before starting to explore some things I can do in the community, there's a youth program that I'm working on, hopefully launching in 2018. And also, I'm starting to write now, which I'll share a little bit about later, but I actually published my first article earlier this week, which I'm excited about. But before all that, I used to work in corporate America, did marketing, brand management for 16 years. Woo, that's a long time. Sweet 16. And I'll never forget early in my career, being in a meeting, when there was some brainstorming taking place. Folks were throwing out ideas related to some project we were working on. And I'll never forget, meeting lasted about an hour. We're early on in the meeting. I raise my hand and I say my idea. And then someone else has an idea. Then someone else has an idea. And someone else has an idea. And then later on, someone else, a little bit more senior than me, a little bit lighter skinned than me, says the same thing I said earlier in that meeting. Basically the same thing. And everybody's like, oh my goodness, that's a great idea. And I'm like, what? Huh? I'm thinking to myself, I said that about 25 minutes ago. I saw people like nod their head, so I know you heard me. It wasn't like my lips were moving and no sound was coming out. Shout out to Elizabeth, who noticed that I didn't turn the mic on earlier in the show where my mouth was moving for those watching on Facebook Live and there was no sound coming out. Shout out to Elizabeth for noticing that. Appreciate you. And so I'm in this meeting and I'm thinking to myself, I said the same thing this person said 25 minutes ago. I know my lips were moving. There were words coming out, sound coming out. I saw a couple of you look me in the eye. I know you heard me. But then someone else says it later in the meeting, and all of a sudden, it's a great idea. And I remember in that moment, early in my career, feeling hurt, feeling ignored, and really wondering, how could I literally have been in a meeting, said something, and then someone else say the same exact thing later, and they get credit for it and not me? And I'm running through like all these scenarios in my head. I'm in my early 20s. I'm in a new environment. I never worked in corporate America before. And I'm just like, is it because I'm my age? Because I'm the youngest person in the room? Is it because of my race? Is it because I'm black? Is it because I'm new and you just don't listen to the new guy? Was it intentional? Was it just unconscious? All these things running through my head. But before the meeting ended, and maybe it was naivete, maybe it was me being pissed, and maybe it was the fact that it rubbed me the wrong way. So before the meeting ends, I remind folks and I say my idea again. And I go, I'm glad that you all are excited about the idea that so-and-so said that I said earlier in the meeting. Looks like we're starting to build some momentum of everyone wanting to go in the direction that I suggested. So I did speak up for myself. But I did feel hurt and ignored in that moment. And I'm sure I'm not the first nor the last underdog to feel that way when you've been the one to kick something off. And then all of a sudden, it seems like someone else gets the credit. Which leads me to bad magazine covers. This week, Time Magazine released its Person of the Year. Anybody know who the Time Magazine Person of the Year was? It somewhat relates to the topic in the first hour of the show. And before I tell you who that or who the Person of the Year was, just to give you some perspective of who've been some of the winners in the past. Barack Obama was the Time Person of the Year in 2012. There's been groups of people who've been the Person of the Year, the protesters, acknowledging the Arab Spring and some of the uprising in the Middle East and folks wanting a new approach to government and freedom over there. The Ebola fighters in 2014. Again, it's called Person of the Year, but also groups can win Person of the Year, Time Magazine. And who can forget 2016, the winner was Donald Trump, as he became the 45th president of the United States in 2016. And officially, obviously, in January, when the inauguration happened. And this year, Time's Person of the Year is called the Silence Breakers. Those women who have spoken out about sexual harassment and sexual assault that has happened to them, who've bravely taken on oftentimes men in power, Harvey Weinstein's, the Matt Lauer's, and taking on institutions that made it okay for some of those predators to continue to assault and harass women. And the Silence Breakers have started to turn the tide on that. And we talked about it earlier. Folks like Conyers, Franken, Franks, and that's in politics, and obviously beyond politics, Harvey Weinstein in the media, Charlie Rose. Sexual harassment and sexual assault has been something that's been happening to women and also to men too for a long time. And in a lot of cases has been kept as a secret. And it seems, at least for no more, there's a tide turning in a different direction. With that said, though, part of this tidal wave, part of this movement has included some social media awareness building and activism. And it was called the hashtag Me Too. And this movement, this hashtag, which became more than just a hashtag, became a declaration, became people breaking their silence, became strength in numbers, was started by a woman named Tarana Burke. And I think some of you may see where I'm going now with today's title, Bad Senators, Bad Magazine Covers, Bad Habits. Like I said earlier, I was in that meeting. I said something. Someone else said it. And then they got the credit. They forgot who kicked the whole thing off. Well, it looks like Time Magazine is incomplete. Awesome that they acknowledge the Silent Breakers as a group being the person of the year. But incomplete because when you look at the cover, at least in my opinion, there's someone missing. And that makes it a bad magazine cover. Because I don't like when underdogs are not appreciated and not acknowledged for what they do. She was the person behind the Me Too hashtag movement. And rightfully so, people feel like Time Magazine didn't show the value that she had in the movement. People feel like instead of just listing the movement, they should have listed the person behind the movement. Let me know if I'm making much ado about nothing. Am I being overly sensitive? I mean, Tarana Banks is in the magazine. She didn't make the cover, but she's in the magazine. If you go to Time, they got videos of her. They interviewed her. Am I making much ado about nothing? Or do I have a good case that just like you have or I have been in situations where you said something and someone else comes along and co-opts it, I don't like when this type of stuff happens. Now, with that said, you can join the conversation, area code 212-650-6903. And I believe I have a caller. I'm taking that in 1 second. At least not everybody left Miss Burke out. Here's a clip from the Today Show where they've had their own troubles with Matt Lauer, who recently resigned based on his sexual misconduct. But it looks like they at least wanted to acknowledge that Miss Burke needs to be center stage. So they had her and Alyssa Milano, who some credit with this Me Too movement when it was started by Miss Burke. They had them both on the Today Show earlier this week.
We're joined now by Tarana Burke, the creator of the Me Too movement, and Alyssa Milano, one of the actresses who helped that hashtag go viral. Both of you starting a movement, ladies. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And do I have this right? You just met each other in person a few moments ago.
Yeah, yeah. There was a big hug there.
Yeah, yeah, we text like 20 times a day.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. But the connection is there. And Tarana, I'll start with you because you did this hashtag. You said Me Too in 2006.
Yeah.
Has this exceeded even your wildest hopes for what might be able to be accomplished?
Yeah, I could never imagine this. I could never have envisioned something that would be, that would change the world. I was trying to change my community.
Mm-hmm. Well, stepping forward is tough. You guys both did that.
And that was Tarana Banks, Burks, who it looks like the Today Show realized that Time Magazine may have missed the boat in leaving her out, but at least they brought her there along with someone who is, I get it, more popular. More people know Alyssa Milano from her Who's the Boss fame and things like that. But they had them both on instead of just Alyssa. And I can appreciate that. If you want to join the conversation, you can at area code 212-650-6903 or go to Facebook Live at facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith and comment there. Today's episode, bad senators, bad magazine covers, and bad habits. I'll share one of mine before the end of the show. Caller, name and where you're calling from.
It's me again. Nobody else seems to want to call. Listen,
I appreciate
you know,
that.
If she had not been put on another radio show, which I will not, you know the radio show, but this is not your station, so I'm not going to mention it.
Yep.
We would not be hearing about the sister like we are, okay? I don't have any problems with the other young lady from Who's the Boss, but even I don't remember her name because I haven't heard from her in a long time. She's a good actress. She's done a Lifetime movie several years ago. But I mean, like, you know, even with all that we go through as women, people are never going to do the right thing. Nothing ever changes. You have to pull and tug. And thank God for social media, because you probably would not have known that Tawana had started this in 2006. They would have pushed her right aside, and you would not have heard about it.
Which would have been unfortunate. And so that's why today, you know, we do Underdog stuff here. I wanted to make sure we acknowledge her.
Yeah.
Because she is part of why we are where we are today.
Yeah. And I think that people should open up more about what's going on up on the Hill, because I'm quite sure that there are more than enough.
Come on.
There's enough garbage going on up on the Hill, and I'm quite sure a lot of us have been mistreated.
Hey, for sure.
And I don't care what color it is that the men are, if they've mistreated us, then they should be punished. And we should all get our money back, too.
Come on now. I talked about it earlier. Deborah,
$15
million have been spent on basically hushing people up.
Right.
And they spent our money.
Right. For Pedophile Hill.
Yeah, and so I'm like, I get it. Conyers, Franken, okay, but what about the rest of them?
Yeah. I mean, bring them all out.
That's what I want to keep.
Bring them all out.
Keep in top of mind, and hopefully folks don't, like, let that just slide on by, because it shouldn't.
I mean, he said he wanted to clean it out, right? What did he call it?
The swamp. He wants to drain the swamp.
He should be careful of what he wants.
Yeah, because he might go down the drain with it.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay, hey. Have a good day.
Hey, you too. Appreciate you, Deborah. Mm-hmm. And that was Deborah from Manhattan, who seems to agree that Ms. Burke should not have been left out of this discussion. And she hasn't, I haven't, and I know a lot of you underdogs haven't either. With that, though, before we go to break, I do want to mention one cover that I did like in the past week or two since I've been gone, which was GQ. They announced their Citizen of the Year, and it was Colin Kaepernick, which they did a better job than Sports Illustrated, which, as we know, weeks ago did a cover about players and protesting, and they had a bunch of people on the cover and left him out. So this seems to be a quite of a trend that I don't like. But glad GQ acknowledged Colin Kaepernick, and glad that at least the Today Show tried to do a make good of where Time headed in the right direction, but to me was incomplete in terms of the silence breakers front and center should have included Miss Tawana Burke. With that, we're going to take a quick break and come back with more of the Gregory Neesmith Show. Today's episode, Bad Senators, Bad Magazine Covers, and Bad Habits. And I'll talk about one of mine before we end the show. With that, though, I want to go to break with Tawana Burke, give him some more context to the Me Too movement, and then we'll go to some quick music, and then come back with more of the Gregory Neesmith Show. Let's get personal about underdog stuff in the news and the culture.
When you go through something as traumatic as sexual violence, there's a way that you close up. Your protection, the way you protect yourself, it's like you're shrouded in shame. And the disclosure, not just the disclosure, but then the subsequent having somebody else connect with you and say, you're not alone in that, it just frees you. It frees you from the shame. You don't have to give the details, because the details really don't matter. If somebody is bold and stands up and tells their story, and you're not ready to do that, and that's not where you are in your journey, to just simply say, me too, is powerful, but it's soft. Me Too can be a conversation starter, or it can be the whole conversation.
Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show. Shout out to the underdogs, to my people, and the occasional Trump supporter that accidentally finds the show. You made it to the right place if you want to get personal about underdog stuff in the news and the culture, the unavoidable, the unjust, the underreported, the unbelievable underdog stuff. And as always, I'll take you on your journey, Gregory Neesmith. And happy to be here with you every Sunday from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. live on WATR 90.3 FM, The Voice of Harlem, and on my Facebook Live. And if you don't or can't make the live show every week, and I know that happens to Sunday, folks got church, running errands. This time of year, folks may be out doing some holiday shopping. The good news is there's a podcast which comes out every Monday and throughout the week, content from the Gregory Neesmith Show. And you can find the podcast on iTunes, on Podomatic, on Stitcher, on Google Play, and it's also syndicated on Live, Lead, Play. Just go to any of those places, search the Gregory Neesmith Show, subscribe, leave a review. All of it is appreciated. Now, I got so into the bad senators and the bad magazine covers that we only have about a half an hour left in the show, and now I got to figure out where to go from here. I did say I'm going to talk about bad habits, so I can't go back on my word. So I think I'm going to dive into that, and might have to save some of the other stuff I want to talk about for next week. I mean, there's LeVar Ball, who's in the news. Steve Bannon. Trying to tell black folks about economic populism. There's wedding cakes going to the Supreme Court. All right, I'm gonna try to do this. We'll talk more about that next week because that's part of the like unlike block segment. And if we have some extra time, we'll come back to it. But I want to get to the third piece of today's show, which is bad habits. Here we go. Bad habits. All right, I'm getting ready for the new year. How many of you are getting ready for the new year? 2018. Sometimes you gotta let it go. Looks like another love TKO. Sometimes you gotta let it go. You know, I'm always consumed in thinking about what do I want? What do I want? I want to be in better shape. I want to get a better job. I want to spend more time with my family. And that's cool, right? Whether it's the new year, the end of the year, mid-year, any time of year, it's cool to have wants and goals and dreams and aspirations. You got them, I got them. It's all good. But I'm really starting to think about a remix to approaching this coming year in a way different than I have in the past. And not because there's anything wrong with the way I've approached in the past, but just because I think sometimes new times call for different measures, or as the saying goes, doing the same thing the same way all the time is the definition of insanity. I don't want to be insane. I don't want to be crazy. Although you got to have a little bit of crazy, I think, to go out and create things and be an activist and all that stuff. But, you know, I don't want to be straight jacket insane. So I want to use the wardrobe example because it's been working for me. So if going out and getting new clothes is analogous or the same as and bear with me, the same analogy as I want to go out and get a new job. I want to get a TV show. I want the Gregory Neesmith show to grow. I want to spend more time with my parents. If all the wants are like me going out to buy new clothes and a new wardrobe, which a lot of people do, then where I'm likely to have my eye on ending this year and going to next year is my closet. That's right. I'm having the eye on my closet and not my eye on the new clothes. Because what I'm starting to realize is that if I don't clean out the closet, if I don't get rid of all the clothes that I've been accumulating over the years, then where am I going to be able to put the new clothes? I can't make room for the new clothes if I got all the old clothes and bags in the closet still. I'm starting to realize that one of the keys to going from underdog to contender, contender to champ, and champ to legend is I have to let go of some things to be great. And if year after year, my eye is always on the new clothes, then I feel like it's okay if I take a year off to focus on getting rid of the clothes that are in the closet. So over the next few weeks, at some point during the show, I want to start to share some of the things I'm going to actually start to let go of. To use the metaphor, things I'm going to start getting rid of in my closet so I can make room for more time with my family, the new job, growing the Gregory Neesmith show, so I can make room for, to use the analogy, the new wardrobe. Because what I've noticed is I've been keeping my eye on all the new clothes and there's starting to not be enough room in the closet for them. And today I'm going to start with what I call an outer bad habit that I want to let go of so I can be great. But in the coming weeks, I also want to talk about some of the inner ones. And what I mean by inner ones is, you know, I got some bad habits with my cell phone. And actually, that's what I'm going to talk about today. But that's an outer thing. I also got some bad habits with how I see myself. Like, maybe I'm not smart enough. Or if you knew me, you wouldn't really like me. Or things like that, right? Things that my inner voice says to me to sometimes keep me down or keep my fears going or my self-doubt. I know I'm not alone. You may not have the same ones I have, but I know you got something. And so I want to get rid of those things in my closet too. Some of the inner blocks, some of the things I make up about myself that feel like they're true, but they're not the truth. And in the coming weeks, we'll talk about what those things are for me personally and how I'm going to let them go and work on it. And hopefully that can be something that you can take something away from too. So there's some inner stuff, but there's also some outer stuff. And so today I want to talk about one of the outer things, one of the bad habits I have that shows up visibly to the rest of the world. And that's my relationship with my cell phone. They call it a smartphone, but I swear I'll be acting like a dummy sometimes related to it. So earlier this year, some of you may have seen an article or the news about Aziz Ansari. I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly. He's a comedian and an actor. And I believe there was an interview of him in GQ magazine about he was taking social media and the internet off his smartphone. I'm not ready to go that far, but I am ready to go farther than I've gone so far related to my bad habit with my phone. So to make room in the closet for all the new clothes, I'm going to let go of some other clothes that are in the closet, which we call some of my bad habits. And one of them is how I interact with my phone, which causes me to not be, you know, as great and as connected and as present as I know I could be. So I came up with a new cell plan. C-E-L-L. A new cell plan. A C, an E, an L, an L. Each letter stands for part of my new cell plan. And please, don't be shy if you're watching on the Facebook Live. Drop a comment. What's a bad habit that you want to leave behind in 2017 so you can make room for all the stuff you want to do in 2018? One of mine is letting go of some of the bad thoughts I have about myself. Another one is letting go of some of the limiting beliefs I have about the world. Some of them are just some of the habits I do, like working out or how I interact with my phone. You know, there's something about the freedom of just letting it out. So drop a comment. I guarantee you'll likely feel a little bit better. And I'm sure there might be some people who actually comment and go, oh yeah, me too. And there's strength in numbers, as we talked about earlier in the show. Shout out to Sharonda Burke for kicking off the Me Too movement and the Silence Breakers. All right, my new cell plan, C-E-L-L. The C stands for cut. I don't need 4 weather apps, 7 dating apps, 15 news apps. Don't judge me. I don't need it. But I'm not alone. Because according to TechCrunch.com, the average American has around 90 apps on their cell phone. On a daily basis, people use an average of 9 apps. And on a monthly basis, they use an average of about 30 apps. So we got all these apps on our phones, and we're not even using most of them. So I'm cutting them. So after the show, I'm going to go through my iPhone and start cutting some of those apps, because I don't need 4 weather apps, 7 dating apps, and 15 news apps. Don't judge me. Cut. Also, I'm going to cut, while I'm in the cutting mood, I'm going to cut down on the notifications. Between this watch and this phone and CNN's beeping, New York Times is beeping, Tinder's beeping, the Weather Channel's beeping, text messages are beeping, WhatsApp's beeping, Facebook messages beeping. That's too much beeping. It's hard to stay focused. Instagram's beeping. I'm going to cut the notifications. While I would like to believe I'm that important of a person in the world, I don't believe that I need to be notified of all those things going on. I'm going to bet that you probably don't either. So the first part of the cell plan is C, cut. I'm cutting apps. I'm cutting notifications. I don't want to be like all the folks that TechCrunch mentioned in its survey that has all these apps on a phone. And I'm not using them anyway. The second part of my cell plan, because to be great, to go from underdog to contender to champ, I got to let some stuff go. To go buy the new wardrobe, to use that analogy, I got to make some room in the closet. I got to get rid of some bad habits. My smartphone acting like a dumb phone because I'm doing too much with it. The second part of my C-E-L-L plan, C is for cut, E is evict. Somebody's got to go. Either my significant other, me, or the phone. And the winner is the phone. I can't pick a phone over a human being, but I have. I'll plead guilty as charged. I've been in the bed, significant other laying next to me. Wake up in the morning, and the first thing I do is reach for my phone. Not for the loved one laying next to me, but for my phone. Now, you don't have to call, and you don't even have to call yourself out on the Facebook Live, but at least shake your head, and no one can see you but you. But shake your head if you're with me. If you've actually been laying next to your significant other, you wake up in the morning And before you say your prayers, before you give the person a kiss, hello, good morning, or something, or whatever else you might do in the morning with your significant other, shake your head. If you too have reached for your phone instead of the human being laying right next to you. So I'm going to evict the phone from my bedroom. That means going forward, putting the phone on the charger at night in the living room, going to bed without it, waking up without it, focusing on either myself, focusing on my significant other, but not on the phone. Also, I'm going to evict the phone when in my apartment out of the bathroom. Now, please don't tell me I'm the only one who could be sitting on the throne in the bathroom and have the phone with them. I do that sometimes. Or playing music or podcasts with the speakers on while in the shower. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going to test out evicting my cell phone, not just from my bedroom, but also from the bathroom. And I found out there's good reason to do that. Bank of America did a survey of adults in America, and it showed that 71% of people either sleep with their phones in their bed or their nightstands, and 35% of people reach for their phone as the first thing in the morning. I don't want to be a part of that anymore. And then the reason why I'm evicting the phone from the bathroom is because, according to Business Insider, 72% of people claim to come up with their best ideas in the shower. That means every time I bring my phone into the bathroom, I could be robbing myself, my team, of a great idea. Because the shower is a place that can happen, because supposedly I'm in there without my phone and no distractions and feeling free. And plus, water is good for us, what they say. And I know water feels good to me, whether it's being by a lake, being in the ocean, taking a bath, being in the shower. So folks, what are you going to leave behind in 2017 so you can be great in 2018? Today's episode is bad senators, bad magazine covers, and bad habits. I'm telling you about one of my bad habits, my relationship with my cell phone. But I got a new plan. Cell plan, C-E-L-L. I'm cutting things. I'm evicting things. Now let's get to the first L of the cell plan. Leave. As in, leave my phone in my pocket. You can leave your phone in your pocket. You can leave your phone in your purse. Leave your phone in your bag. I'm going to leave it. Not all the time, but intentionally during special occasions, like being out to eat. I was with my parents the other night, visiting them in South Carolina, and I attempted to try something on where I would not take out my phone while we were eating dinner. And it was a different experience because I felt more connection with them. I also felt like they felt that they had my full attention and that I wasn't prioritizing work over them or social media over them. And while they know there's things that I have to do and get to do related to my phone and work and things like that, it is good to have moments where it's about them or about the people I'm with. And so I'm going to be intentional about leaving my phone in my pocket when I'm having meals with others, family, friends, business partners. And, you know, gamification is a very cool thing. And I like some friendly competition. So one of the things I'm thinking about doing when I need to up the ante, so to speak, is maybe introducing a game called Phone Stack. Where Phone Stack is this idea where if you're out to dinner, out to lunch, out to breakfast with family, friends, or your significant other, the people at the meal occasion, all while you're out at a restaurant put your cell phones in the center of the table and you stack them on top of one another. And the first person to reach for the phone for whatever reason, and it has to be for a good reason if they do, like there's an emergency or something like that. But if someone just reaches for the phone because they want to see who texts them or who liked their Instagram post, the first person in the phone stack game, while out to eat with family, friends, significant other, first one to reach for the phone in the middle of the table and look at it has to pick up the bill. So if loving the people you're around while out to eat isn't enough incentive, add the phone stack game to up the ante for you. Because if you won't do it for love, maybe you'll at least do it for money and you not wanting to pick up the bill. And then lastly, as I get ready for 2018 and starting to work on the things that I'm going to leave behind so I can make room for stuff in 2018, and I'm going to share more of these things that I want to let go of in the coming weeks. But right now we're talking about me wanting to leave behind my habits that are bad with my cell phone. The last piece of the new cell plan, C-E-L-L, C for cut, E for a bit, L for leave. The last one is live. Not live, but live, as in a live event. It's the end of the year. I know a lot of you for 2018 are going to have as a declaration or a New Year's resolution is to get a new job. Why? Because you hate your job. How do I know? I've done the research. Most people hate their jobs. Most people are disengaged at their jobs. Most people want to do something else. So I know one of the things you want to do, underdogs, my people, occasional Trump supporters that accidentally find the show. I know that a lot of you are going to be looking for a job right now or at the start of the year. Some folks want to wait till the start of the year because they want to make sure they get the end of the year bonus, all that stuff. I get it. But I want to offer that you think about with your new cell plan going live. And what I mean by that is payscale.com found that the average person spends 70 to 80% of their time looking for jobs online. Monster.com, LinkedIn, things like that. 70 to 80% of the time, 70 to 80% of your time, you're likely spending online looking for a job. But only 15 to 30% of people find their jobs online. The majority of people find their jobs by networking. I know over the past few weeks, I've talked to several friends who've been looking to get new gigs, and a lot of them have found them through someone they knew. In some cases, the roles weren't even published, open to the public. So this is one case where sometimes technology, it sounds good, feels good. Everybody's doing it online looking for a job. But no, get out and go live. Talk to people. Go to job fairs. I'm just saying, it's likely to help you get a job more than just being on your phone and online. So that's one of my bad habits that I'm going to be working on letting go of so I can make room for new things in 2018. Because using the wardrobe example, like I said earlier, I can go out and want to buy these new clothes and new good things, but if there's no room in my closet, where am I going to be able to put them? And so to use that analogy, one of the bad habits, one of the articles of clothing that I want to get rid of in my closet is my bad habit with my cell phone. And that's cut apps and notifications. The C, the E is a bit my phone from my bedroom and bathroom so I can be more creative and also pay attention to my loved one who might be laying next to me. L, leave. Leave the phone in your pocket, your purse, your bag so you can focus on the people you're having a meal with. And then lastly, L, the last L is go live. Don't be online for everything. Come to the real world. Because part of choosing to be great is the opportunity to give things up, especially bad habits. That's one of the ways to go from underdog to champ. With that, we're going to take a quick break, and then the big finish of the show. Only a few minutes left. The 2 hours just flies by. Dang, and I didn't even get to some of the other stuff I wanted to talk about. As always, I appreciate you guys going on the journey with me. So we'll come back with the big finish. More underdog stuff for underdogs and for my people and even those curious conservatives that accidentally find the show. More of the Gregory Niesma Show after this break. Welcome back to the Gregory Niesma Show, where we get personal about underdog stuff in the news and the culture. And just that quick, 2 hours has flown by. Dang. I'm grateful as always to be back on the mic after a 2 week hiatus. We are now back for season two, first 50 episodes, and year one in the books. And now season two and year two kicks off. And the plan is more personal, more culture, more news, more underdog stuff. With that, I'll leave you with a couple of my new rules related to today's show. First, take your breaks. You can't pour from an empty cup. So I'm glad that I stepped away for a few weeks to both celebrate season one, but also to recharge and come back for season two. And also during that time, I was able to start to dabble in a few other things, which is I wrote and published my first article, which is going to be part of what I call the Underdog Stuff Writes article series. And you can actually find it on liveleadplay.com. And you can also find it on my personal LinkedIn page. And I plan to write more articles going forward and likely around stuff about entrepreneur life, about dating life, and about other underdog stuff in general. So more to come. But I'm glad I took the break because it allowed me to recharge and then also explore some other creative things related to the Gregory Niesma Show and underdog stuff. Second new rule from today's show. Show folks some love and appreciation. Don't be like Time Magazine and leave Tarana Burke out, who started the Me Too movement and is one of the reasons why we have the person of the year is the silence breakers, as Time Magazine calls them. And so if you're in a position to show appreciation to people, show it. And if you're in a position where you feel underappreciated, let people know how you're feeling and let them know what you've accomplished. You know, one of my favorite sayings is, I've heard people complain before when they're like, oh, I'm such a good writer, and how come that other person's outselling me? Well, as they say, the saying is, it's called best selling author, not best writing author. So oftentimes, as underdogs, we have to remember it's not just the content and the talent that we have, but it's also making sure we let people know. And then lastly, my new rule for today is clean out your closet and make room for your new wardrobe. Get rid of some of those bad habits. I shared one today. Are you going to share one of yours? I'm getting rid of that bad habit I have on my cell phone with my new cell plan, C-E-L-L, cut, evict, leave, and go live. With that, thank you for listening to the Gregory Niesma Show. The audio podcast is available on iTunes, Google Play, Podomatic, and Stitcher. Search Gregory Niesma. Also, the podcast is syndicated on liveleadplay.com. And shout out to all of you for downloading the podcast. Today, we are trending in the top 40 on Podomatic in the Society and Culture podcast category out of thousands of podcasts. Also, the video podcast will be available on YouTube. Search Gregory Niesma Show on the Gregory Niesma Show channel. And lastly, shout out to the home base, WACR 90.3 FM, the voice of Harlem, Angela and Tina, who hold it down and run things here. And as always, I leave you with my favorite quote, underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace.